Matthew chapter 6, if you have your Bibles. To many of you who have been around our church, this Sunday morning sermon, the Sunday before the Sunday of Prescott, it will not shock you that I'm preaching on fasting. And we're going to set aside some time, but let me minister on this for a few minutes. Fasting is very biblical. It's something you read about in the Bible. In fact, one man wrote, James Packer wrote these words. He says, in Scripture, we see several purposes for fasting. It's part of a discipline of self-control. It is the way of sharing that we depend on God alone for our strength and for our resources. It is a way to totally focus in on Him, seeking His guidance and His help, and showing that we are really in earnest of our quest. It is also a time of experiencing sorrow and deep repentance. This can be personal or communal, that in order to acknowledge our failures before God and seek His mercy. Some only see fasting as going without food. Sometimes it's just a fancy diet that's added by me. He says, but we can fast from anything. If you love music, decide to spend time away from music to spend time with God. That's fasting. Think of it as a parallel of a human friendship. When friends need to be together, they will cancel all other activities to make it possible. There's nothing magical about fasting. It's just one way of telling God that He is your priority, and at the moment you want to be alone with Him. Sorting out whatever is necessary, you cancel meals, parties, concerts, whatever you had planned in order to fulfill that priority. Jesus makes a statement in the text we're going to read in Matthew chapter 6. He doesn't say if, He says when. I just want you to look at that. It's not if, it's when. Matthew 6, 16 through 18. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with the sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head with oil, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Let's think firstly, why do we fast? It's kind of crazy. If you think about it, why would we twice a year set aside time to go without food for up to 3 days? And what's the purpose of that? Is it just because, you know what, we partied too much during the holidays and it's time to maybe get rid of a few pounds that you picked up over Christmas and New Year's and all the other fellowships that we've had and all these kind of things? What does fasting accomplish? Well, one, it is definite in the Bible. It accomplishes humility before God. There are many times where humility and repentance were connected to fasting. In the book of Jonah, the Bible says, as Jonah preached, the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Here, Jonah, he's gone, he's preaching. He's not really full of faith. I think he uses 8 words, repent or die, basically is what he says. To this city of Nineveh, repent or God's going to judge you. And they receive the word. And when they hear this, the Bible says they all fast. And they put on sackcloth. Sackcloth is not, it's not nice to have on next to your skin. It's going to be rough and grainy. It's, you know, it's potato sacks kind of thing. It's not very nice, burlap-y kind of stuff. But what it was a sense of humility. That we're repenting, I'm humbling myself before God. Fasting has a way to, that we deny food and our flesh, that we're sacrificing and saying, God, you are that important. Psalms 35 and verse 13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothes was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with your whole heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord, and he will be gracious and merciful, slow to anger, great of kindness. He relents from doing harm. Over and over, we see that fasting is connected with a humility, that we say, God, I need your help. It is a good way to start a year, to say, God, you know what? 2021, we don't know what's going to happen. January, the first Sunday of January in 2020, we could not have predicted all the craziness that would have taken place throughout the year. There would have been very few people that would have had an understanding. You might have seen one thing on the horizon. You heard rumors of this China virus thing and whatever. And, you know, is it that bad or is it possible? You know, we had no idea it was going to shut down the entire world's economy. Never mind the social, never mind political, never mind the other issues that have permeated this year or last year. Thank God I can say last year. The social unrest and the political insanity that we still see going on. And all that's happening in the earth right now, it would have been impossible. We can't predict all that's going to happen in 2021. I'm hearing some good things are happening in 2021 already. 1 Samuel 7:6 says, so they gathered at Mizpah to draw water, and they poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day, and they said, we have sinned. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Mizpah literally means the place of judgment. They've come to a place now. Samuel has to deal with them because they're now backslidden. They're being invaded by the enemy. And he says, you know what? I'm going to have to deal. And so they humble themselves and pray. It also is a way of dealing with our own personal carnality. Nothing will make the flesh yield than not eating food. Pastor Mitchell made Pastor Golubov, actually, our leader in Russia, a good friend of mine, made an interesting observation. He had two men that were addicted to pornography. And neither one of them could do a 3-day fast. When they both got free from pornography, and you can be free from pornography, they were able to fast for 3 days. Now, to me, that makes sense in one sense. If you can't kill the flesh in one area, you'll never be able to kill the flesh in another area. If you won't cease in trying to do one thing that you know is absolutely sin, then why would you yield in another area that's kind of voluntary? But what that says is the flesh, my lower nature, my physical being, however you want to define this, rules my life. That's what rules my life, my emotions. Believe it or not, if you go without food for 3 days, I know this will shock some of you. You won't die. I know. You miss lunch. And what do we say? I'm dying. I'm starving to death. Right? It's a very common term we use in America. I'm starving to death. What? You miss lunch, man. It's 3:30. Right? You just missed lunch. That's all. You're not going to die. This is what Esau did, though, wasn't it? It's exactly what Esau did. He had gone out hunting, and he didn't catch anything that day. So he comes back. He says, you know what? I'm dying. What's my birthright? What's that? And he trades away spiritual because he won't deal with the flesh. When we won't deal with our flesh, it will actually affect us. In the book Celebration of Discipline, Richard Foster observes that more than any other discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. And that's why it's very healthy to set time aside that other passions, other issues don't control us. That we're going to say, God, this is a time for you. It's a time for me to draw close to you. To spend time not only in prayer, but in your word and in just the understanding of that you're the one in control of my life. No greater way of killing the flesh. Prayer also has a way of juicing our prayers. I don't know how else to say it. But putting our prayers on a turbo. E.M. Bounds, who wrote numbers of books on prayer, said these words, God's cause is committed to men. God commits himself to men. Praying men are the recipients of God and his work to carry out his plan and his purpose. That we are able, that through prayer, Ezra, I had mentioned this, I think, recently in one of the services, he tells the king, hey, you know what, our God's great. Our God's good. Our God's so good. He's so strong. He's so good. Then he realizes he's got to go across the desert. And this road that he's going to go across is notorious for thieves, for carjackings, for taking over, for robbing and stagecoach, you know, and all this kind of stuff. They would rob them. And so he says, you know what? I'm kind of ashamed. I made such a big deal about my God being so good. I'm kind of ashamed to go and ask him for an escort. So in Ezra 8:21, it says, there I proclaimed a fast by the river before we even started Avia, that we might humble ourselves to our God and seek him for the right way for us and our little ones and our possessions. Ezra says, you know what? I'm seeking him. I'm praying. And God helps him. They're absolutely not bothered. They make it. They've got with everything. And so God hears prayers. And there's something about when we fast that it kind of excites our prayers. Daniel chapter 9 verse 3, he says, I set my face towards the Lord to make a request by prayer and with supplication, with fasting, with sackcloth and ashes. And you, if you read the story, God answers his prayer. There's a fight in the spiritual. The angel Gabriel comes to him and says, you know what? I was left by my own. Michael came and helped me. And by the way, we only know the names of three of the angels. You add Lucifer to that list, and that's all the names we know. He says, you know what? He came, but as you were set your face, God began to answer. But your prayers, they energized. Nehemiah hears about the condition of Jerusalem. He's bothered by this. Nehemiah 1, 3 and 4, and when they came and said to me, the survivors who are left of the captivity in the province are in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down. The gates are burned with fire. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned many days. I fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, he hears that a great army is coming to kill him and his people. And they outnumber his army greatly. And he's like, what do we do? And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout of all of Judah. God begins to give them strategy, great military strategy. Put the singers first. I'm sure they're thinking we're fodder. That's all we are. We're going to take the first arrows, man. They sing, the Lord is great. God causes them to believe something else has happened. They actually turn on one another. There isn't 3 days for them to take away all the spoils. God begins to really move and do something. It energizes our prayers. So it has to do with us killing our own lower nature, our desires, our flesh, humbling ourselves, and energizing or juicing our prayers. So how do we fast? Well, fasting, like any other spiritual exercise, is a sacrifice. Giving is a sacrifice. Witnessing, setting time aside is a sacrifice. Outreach, whatever. Jesus, in our text, he makes some interesting statements. He says, when you fast. He says, this is supposed to be just part of the Christian life. In fact, if you read the context of Matthew chapter 6, he starts out, when you give. Then he says, when you pray. Now we're going to look tonight at the real mark of Christianity. And it's not necessarily giving, praying, or even fasting. It's love. But the other side of this is he says, when you are a Christian, this should take place in your life. That honestly, if there is no prayer, if there is no giving, and there is no fasting, is there salvation? Just asking. Are we saved because we fast and pray? No. But you should pray and fast and give because you are saved. He says, don't fast for everybody else. Don't disfigure your countenance. Don't every 3 minutes at work. What's the matter? We're fasting. It's 9:30 Monday morning. You've skipped breakfast before. I mean, be honest. You ever gotten up late and had to skip breakfast? Right? Gotta go. Gotta run out the door, you know. Grab that coffee and go, and that's it, right? But we're sacrificing. We're making time for God. This is why fasting without prayer is not as effective. In fact, some of you will not like me for this, but I'll just read what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 7:5, talking to married couples. I could just go off the first part of this statement, and that's a whole nother sermon that we'll save for a marriage class. But he says, do not deprive one another. Okay, we'll move on. Talking about sexual in marriage, except for a time that you give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Then come together so Satan doesn't tempt you because of your lack of self-control. He brings out here that, you know what? The act of marriage, it's not a game people play, it's not, you know, I could go off here for a while, but I'll leave that. But he says the only time should be absolute consent. I'm going to fast. Nothing will be better. In Leviticus 16:9, we won't read it, but it's talking about Yom Kippur, which is actually the most holiest day in the Jewish calendar. It's the day of atonement. It's the day of repentance. It's the day that the Jews will do make their confession of their sin, and it is observed by fasting and intensive prayer. Our text tells us that Jesus says, keep a good attitude. Wash your face, man. Don't appear to men to be fasting. Now, I know, you know, come Wednesday, 3-day fast, you know, maybe you're not mentally on your A game. I get that. But your body language, your long face doesn't have to tell everybody. He says, you do it in secret or you don't blow the trumpet. Hey, everybody, just so you know, fasting. There's plenty of times where fasts were proclaimed. We'll look at a few of those. But he says, keep a good attitude during it. You know, is it hard? Yeah, a lot of things in life are hard. Is it worth it? Yes. It also has the ability to open our spirit. Luke chapter 2 says, verses 36 and 37 says, now there was one, Anna, a prophetess. She was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was a great age. She had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and the woman was a widow about 84 years. She's married for 7 years, and somehow, tragically, her husband died. And she remained a widow for 84 years. I don't personally recommend that, but, you know, that's what she did. She didn't depart from the temple, but she served God with fasting and prayers night and day. It's very interesting that when Jesus comes into the temple to be dedicated, there are only two people in that temple that recognize who he is. There's Simeon and there's Anna. That there's something about her ability to now sense what God is doing in a greater way, to recognize what God is doing in a greater way, that other people, and I'm not saying that, you know, you would assume in the temple that there's some pretty righteous people there. These aren't the, you know, street drug dealers and bank robbers and prostitutes. These are people who serve in the temple, but there's something about she would pray and fast, and now she's more sensitive to what God is doing. No small wonder that God opens doors for those who fast. God answers prayer. Ezra 8:23, he just says, and so we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. John Maxwell wrote in his book, Partners in Prayer, he tells of in 1876, grasshoppers had nearly destroyed the crops in Minnesota. So that in the spring of 1877, farmers were so worried that they believed the dreadful plague would happen once again, visit and destroy the crops, they would be ruined financially. The situation was so severe that Governor John Pillsbury proclaimed a fast on April 26th, a day of prayer and fasting, and he urged every man, woman, and child to ask God to prevent this terrible scourge. On that day in April, all schools, shops, stores, and offices were closed over the state so that all could take time for prayer and fasting. The next day, the temperature dawned bright and clear, and temperatures soared to what would have been an extraordinary midsummer day. It was so unusual for April that Minnesotans were devastated by the billions of grasshoppers and larvae began to wiggle to life. For 3 days, this unusual heat wave persisted. It appeared too long before this rampant starving army would begin to destroy crops again. But on the fourth day, temperatures dropped so suddenly that the entire state was covered by a frost and all the locusts were dead. Coincidence? I think not. God shows up. God uses Nehemiah's prayer and fast that when he is now before the king, a door opens before him. The king and the queen are like, "What's the matter, dude?"
"Well, I've got this problem. My city, it's burned. It's in trouble and I want you to pay for it." And they're like,
"Sure, how much? How long?" Kings just don't do that. Columbus had to go around. One of the reasons the Italian ended up in Spain is because he went to the king of Italy and he wouldn't finance it. And he went to the king of Norway and he wouldn't finance it. So he went to Isabella in Spain and she's like, "Sure, take the prisoners and go." They were all prisoners on those boats. "Here's your choice. You can stay in jail for the rest of your life or you can sail off the edge of the earth. Which do you prefer?" That's what they believed. Direction can be given in a fast. God can really speak. Ezra 4:16 says, as the Jews are under persecution, they're going to be murdered. Haman's created a law that's going to do it. And Ezra says to her uncle, she says to him, "Go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat or drink for 3 days or nights. My men, maidservants, and I will likewise fast. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." One commentator said that Esther's fast could have no object but to gain God's favor and protection for a dangerous course which she was about to enter. Acts 13, the Bible says that when they ministered before the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on him and sent them on their way. Acts 14:23, "And so when they had appointed elders to every church, they prayed with fasting and they commended them to the Lord who had believed." One of the reasons we will set time aside is at conference decisions will be made. Missionaries will go to foreign countries. They need God's help. I've been a missionary where I could speak 4 words of the language when I landed. Atsi prasho, achu, labas, and visigaro. Excuse me, thank you, hello, goodbye. That was it. Destiny, decisions. But that even goes beyond. There are people from our congregation that will go to conference. And God will lay hold of your heart in a very fresh and new way. I had 2 men when I was pastoring in Chicopee that they went to the Cape Cod conference. And both of them in the worship service were filled with the Holy Spirit. When we fast, it opens God to our needs. It opens our spirit to God. Acts chapter 10, the Bible says Cornelius is visited by an angel. And he's told to go get Peter. Peter is visited by, and some believe that he possibly could have been fasting. But Cornelius says these words in Acts chapter 10. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. At the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard and your alms have been remembered in the sight of God. In a prayer meeting, he was visited by an angel. I've fasted many times. I preached on angels recently. I've never actually known that I've seen one. I may have. The Bible says you entertain angels unaware, but I don't know. Just saying. He did, but it's linked to prayer and fasting. Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4 parallel chapters in the life of Jesus Christ. It's when he's baptized, he's led away in the Spirit to the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Jesus was led into the Spirit, led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. I bet. But it says, Luke 4, 14, and Jesus returned in the spirit of returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went around. It did something. They bring a young boy to Jesus. Boy has epilepsy, very severe. He's thrown himself in the water and the fire and different things. It's very severe. They prayed for him and they couldn't cast him out. So they bring him to Jesus. Jesus casts him out. And so later the disciples say, why couldn't we do this? And Jesus said, well, partly because you're unbelief. You thought it was too big. Because if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will obey you. And nothing will be impossible. But then he makes this statement. And unfortunately, verse 21 is omitted in some translations of the Bible, just like it's omitted in some Christians' lives, which says, this kind does not come out but except by prayer and fasting. That this is going to establish something. This is why we fast. Not just because, you know what, get a few, you know. It's to see what God will do. And to start 2021, I think there's just no better way. Saying, God, we are going to believe you for great and mighty things. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. You're here this morning and you come. You're not right with God. The good news is Jesus Christ, he loves you, died for you, and wants to do a miracle in your life. He shed his blood so that you can be changed and free. The reality of God doing a miracle. And maybe you're here this morning, you're not right with God, you're not saved, or you're backslidden, you're away from God, but you need to get your heart right. I wonder if you'd just slip up your hand very quickly. Anyone at all, very quickly. You're not saved, you're not right with God, you're backslidden. You need to come to Jesus very quickly. Changing the call then to Christians. Not surprising to you, we're going to have the next 3 days. Monday and Tuesday, we'll have prayer here from 6:30 to 8:30. We'll be praying, we'll be fasting for the Bible conference, for our church, for our new building, for our situations and circumstances in people's lives and hearts. Salvation of unsaved loved ones. God to help our baby churches. God to move in powerful ways. With every head bowed and every eye closed, what I want to do this morning is I want to ask for a commitment. As we spend the next 3 days, starting Monday, contending for what God is going to do. And if you are pregnant or nursing on medication that doesn't allow you to do a food fast, don't do it. Don't do it. But that doesn't mean that you can't fast from other things. But myself, my wife, we're going to be going without food for those 3 days. It's not the first time, and I can tell you again, you won't die. But I wonder if you're here and you'd say, you know what, I will join you for 3 days of fasting. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand. Say, yeah, I'll join you. Thank God. Maybe you can't fast for 3 days, but you could fast for 2 days. Say, yeah, I'll do that. Slip up your hand. I'll do that. Thank God. Thank God. Maybe you can't do 2 days, but you could do one. Slip up your hand. Thank God. Thank God. What I want to do now is seal that before God. I want you to come to the altar. I want you to maybe in your chair, whatever you want to do, you seal it before God. And put your list. God, this is what I need you to do for me. Let's sing a song, worship God. Give him ends of the earth. Love unfailing, overtaking my heart. Is lost in all you are. I would give the world to tell your story, but I know that you've called me. I know that you've called me. Lost myself in within your promise. And I won't hide it.
I won't hide it.
Jesus, I believe in you, and I would go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth. For you alone are the Son of God, and all the world will see. You are God. Love unfailing, overtaking my heart. You take me in. Lost in all you are. I live the world to tell your story. That you've called me. Oh, that you've called me. Lost the good and good in your promise. And I won't hide it, I won't hide it. Jesus, I believe in you, and I would go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth. For you alone are the Son of God, and all the world will see that you are God. You are all. Oh, let's give him praise. Let's worship him. Father, we love you, God. We glorify you. Oh, ra 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 se. Oh, ra ra bo 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 ra ra se. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I'm very excited and blessed. You, those who responded, which is just about everybody. It's just exciting for what God's going to do. Yeah, it's maybe not the most exciting thing, but I can tell you when we come again on Wednesday, you'll be very glad and excited and to see what God's going to do in 2021 and at the conference. It's going to be glorious. Amen.